Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Live, talk radio that you control. 603-283-6160 is the number for you to call to bring up whatever's on your mind. 603-283-6160. You can call in with any topic you want. It doesn't have to be what we're talking about, or you can comment on what we're saying, tell us you vehemently disagree. It doesn't matter. It's Free Talk Live. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
Elspeth.
And Jay Noon.
Yep, we have a new host with us tonight. It's my sister, Elspeth, so she hasn't been on before, so please don't be mean to her. I'm just kidding.
Well, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
Good to have you.
They're not too mean. So we wanted to start off talking about this shooter in Maine. Jay has some things he wants to say about it. We have this article from Timcast that just basically gives a rundown of what happened for anybody who hasn't heard. It's kind of a bigger news than most shootings to us, because it only happened 3 hours away from us, and you know, we know people that happen to know this person, maybe not exactly, or maybe, you know, different degrees of knowing him, like someone's cousin knew him or something like that. And also, it's a little interesting to me because of the fact that this guy was admittedly crazy, and he was a messed up, like, PTSD-having veteran, and that's really sad that that happens to people. It's terrible. People join the military, and they get in wars, and they get PTSD because of, you know, government wars, and it's terrible, but it just doesn't surprise me that somebody who had an issue like that checks himself into mental institutions might, you know, become a shooter.
So I don't know what the number is today, but years ago, and, you know, 10, 12 years ago, as Adam Kokesh was talking a lot about, you know, the problems with the military, he did a lot of, like, counter recruiting. He would go to these recruitment places, and he'd be like, tell kids, hey, listen, you know, you don't want to go into the military. You're just going to be there fighting rich man's wars. You know, you just all the stuff that he, like, did in Iraq, and it was like and when you have PTSD, Adam Kokesh talks about how, you know, 3 out of 5 meds that put him on, the side effects were suicide. And,
wow.
You know, these are these SSRIs. Maybe somebody could look up real quick what SSRI stands for.
It's,
I forget.
Serotonin. I don't know what it's two S's. It's serotonin reuptake inhibitor.
Okay.
I don't remember why there's two S's. There's probably I'm missing a letter, but it basically makes it to where your brain is filled with serotonin instead of.
Instead of lack of serotonin?
Yeah, instead of having a lack of it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor.
Okay, all right.
Selective.
So anyways, and the thing is this is just like, you know, so back then it was like 12 years ago, it was something like 18 or 22 veterans a day were committing suicide.
Wow.
in the United States of America. And I was having a conversation with somebody today, and they told me 25. And another guy yesterday, we were just talking about veterans or whatever, and he's like, yeah, it's almost 30. I don't know what it is right now, but there's all different reports. But one thing I can say is a lot of guys that go into the military and they go do these things over in Afghanistan, and, you know, let's face it, Afghanistan, basically all Afghanistan was a really convenient place for the American government, the CIA, the DEA, to basically take over some land and extract a whole bunch of minerals called lithium, but also to grow tons of opium, or
yep,
to grow poppy to create opium. It was, and you can go newspaper article after newspaper article, how the heroin output increased like 10,000% or 8,000% as soon as Afghanistan became occupied. So,
and this is also getting a little conspiracy on my end, but they left a whole bunch of crazy weapons there, like a huge amount of weapons there, and a lot of people are saying those just went straight to Hamas and directly impacted them being able to attack Israel.
Absolutely, and you know, the whole Hamas-Israel thing, as far as I'm concerned, is just another inside job. You know, there was a border conveniently closed up, you know, and of course the higher-ups in the Israeli government, you know, and the higher-ups in all of the governments want this war. You know, the military-industrial complex wants this stuff. And the best way to arm and even like the whole thing was weapons of mass destruction. When I, you know, 30 years ago, 44 years old now, but I was a teenager, young teenager, with the whole Gulf War situation happening, started in like the early 90 or 89. And it was like, oh, these guys got weapons of mass destruction. Well, how do we know we have them? Well, we sold them to them, or, you know, we armed, you know, basically everybody that America arms. A decade later, or, you know, a half a decade later, they become some kind of enemy, or, you know, shortly after, these weapons are showing up. But the thing is when these guys go serve in a military, and, like, you know, one of my best friends, Special Forces, he was in Afghanistan, and his job was to basically go, and they would give a name and identification of some farmer who refused to grow poppy, who refused to be part of the opium, you know, the heroin trade.
Wow.
And because these guys wanted to grow wheat, or they wanted to grow, you know, some kind of food or grain or whatever. And Afghanistan is like a very, very fertile place. They had, he's got pictures of all kinds of these, like, very high-end irrigation systems, like everything was top-notch, and the farmers that didn't comply, they were ones that were called terrorists, and all those people in Afghanistan were doing was just fighting an invading force, and so basically the U.S. goes in there, destroys the place, creates a whole bunch of, you know, fatherless children, wreaks havoc, there's depleted uranium probably everywhere. I know it was a big thing in Afghanistan, I mean, Iraq, there was a 500,000 children killed. And the thing with Palestine, basically the average age of the Palestinian, from what I understand, is 17 years old. And there's like 2.3 million people there. So there's like a million children that they're basically looking at genocide, you know, best I can tell. And, you know, all these governments are bad. Like, all these people want to, you know, defend Israel. And, you know, that's horrible. These people in Israel have gotten attacked. And they should be looking at their own government just the same way the people who were in the Twin Towers when they got, you know, murdered on 9/11. They should be looking at, you know, the U.S. government and its involvement in it. And there's just so much evidence that, you know, NORAD was down, this thing was down, this thing wasn't working. It goes back and forth. And we're hearing all kinds of stuff about the most secure border in the world, this, you know, 5-mile border, Gaza, and Israel, and everybody went, you know, home for 7 or 8 hours, and like the, you know, and these people come in with, you know, U.S. munitions, and, you know, on, this kamikaze mission basically is what it was. These, you know, Palestinians, and I put that in quotes because we don't know who they are.
Right.
You know, these guys, but, you know, I've been studying a lot of like child psychology for the past couple of years. I'm writing this, Invest in Our Posterity, you know, lecture series, and I'm telling people, you know, we got to stop creating algorithmic slaves, get our kids off internet devices. And if you look at what the Palestinian has been going through for their entire lives, that's 20 years old, the average Palestinian is 18 years old, basically. So their entire lives, these guys know nothing but war and mayhem. I mean, it is an asshole over there. And it is an asshole for many, many, many reasons. And, you know, why are those people there? I don't even know. Like, right? And why are the Israelis there?
Well, they're trapped there, which is so weird.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah.
You know, I've never been there, so I really don't know. Max Egan.
They have borders on all sides of this small area that is Gaza. And now that the bombing happened, they're definitely trapped there. But even before then, it was very difficult to immigrate out.
Yeah. So it's about impossible to leave Gaza. For years, I've been seeing footage and videos of, you know, kids throwing rocks at tanks and IDF soldiers, you know, in full combat, you know, with, you know, the latest and greatest weapons and technology, you know, mostly thanks to the United States and, you know, European, money.
And every politician seems to think it's, like, really important to give a bunch of money to Israel.
Yes. So
even before this.
And that's always been a thing. So Israel is, like, the fifth largest economy in the world, or 15th, I might have that number wrong, but the amount of, I remember 20 some odd years ago studying this, that Israel is getting like $15 billion a year in financial aid, like years ago, maybe 15 years ago, but it was like $15 billion. And what is financial aid? Financial aid is when you steal money from the people of a wealthy nation, and you know, the poor people of a wealthy nation, and then you just then you give it to rich people of a poorer nation. And, you know, the United States of America obviously has more wealth than Israel, from what I can tell, or did back then. I assume that's true. I guess if you take the debt-to-asset ratio of the United States Corporation, they're really not wealthy because they have $3 trillion almost in debt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going up and up and up. So, you know, if a guy lives in a big, you know, $200 million mansion, but he has, you know, a $300 million note on it, is he really wealthy?
Right.
You know, versus the guy that lives in a $100,000 house and owes $20,000 on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And doesn't have a bunch of debt for a bunch of yachts and toys or whatever.
But,
well, as far as the mental health of soldiers goes, one thing I thought was so crazy is my little brother, he's in the Air Force. He has a night shift, like he works at night. On helicopters and stuff like that. He does something where he works on the mechanics of helicopters and stuff. And he's just in the United States. He's not, like, in a war or anything. He works at night. He went to the nurse lady telling him, I seriously can't get myself to sleep in the daytime when I'm supposed to be sleeping. I need, like, a drug to help me sleep. She prescribed him something. He starts taking it. And it was antidepressants.
Mm-hmm.
He said that that's what they just give everyone. So he stopped taking it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, why would you get antidepressants for not being able to sleep?
Because they love pushing that stuff. It
right.
makes good money. You know, there's the psychiatrists and you know, all those people involved. They're
it
all
makes so much
paid.
Sense that you would give a drug like that to people in the military and that they would really want people in the military to have that. Because if you are a psychopath, which these things basically make people psychopaths, there's all these side effects and even the effect that it's supposed to have, it, making you numb, basically. It's not that it just gives you a bunch of serotonin. You're like, ooh, I'm on happy pills and I'm crazy happy. It makes it to where you're numb, basically. Like normal things that make people excited will make you like, oh, okay, whatever. But you're but at least I'm not depressed. It makes sense that that makes people psychopaths to just not really care.
And we can totally direct people, like, especially from a young age. So if you look at, let's say, a Palestinian right now that's 22 years old. And if you go backwards in time, 25 years, let's say, what Palestine has been dealing with, it's been chaos, like, for 50 years over there. It's been major chaos for the last 25 years. There's always, like, something's going on. There's always bombings. There's, like, I guess the Israeli Defense Force, patrols all over Palestine. And, like, you have to have, like, you know, there's always checkpoints to go through. You can't go more than a couple blocks.
Oh, my God.
So there's a major grip on that country. And the thing is, with what I've been studying, if you really want to, you know, if you have the ability to have the attention of a child for, you know, 15 years and do whatever you want to them, you could totally make, you know, kamikaze suicide soldiers out of the average kid.
Yeah,
you could totally create them to do that. You could morph them. Now they have these technology. They got, like, all these drugs that they use and these antidepressants and what we understand about the brain. And now we have AI literally programming, you know, the fact that so many young ladies, you know, good-looking, you know, young 20-something-year-old women, like, literally can't find a boyfriend because the boys, especially in Japan, are not interested in women because their sexual desire has been programmed essentially by the Internet for that of whatever out there on the Internet and AI. Like, AI is going to, I believe AI is going to, you know, drive men crazy. So we have all this technology that can program people with, and I just, you know, like, these people who, like, got in these, you know, little, I don't know what you call the little plane things that they drove over in or flew over it over the border.
The Hamas people,
yeah,
I don't know what they had or what they used.
You see them flying around. They got like, what I understand is that the ones with a parachute and they got like a little motor. They're like,
I've never seen it, honestly. I didn't know anything about that.
But anyways, they did a kamikaze mission across the border. They flew in these like basically things that like a motorcycle engine on it and a blade and it's got a parachute. And it flies, and you can fly them a few hundred foot off the ground, maybe even a few thousand feet. I see people fly them now and then.
Wow.
And ultralights are called.
Oh.
So they basically parachuted in on these ultralights, which, like, you could build for not much money or you can buy. They're pretty inexpensive. They're really easy to build. The most expensive thing's probably the parachute to come up with. And, you know, who were these guys? How old were they? What were their lives like? Who was programming them?
Yeah.
You know, the same thing with the shooter. You know, who programmed him? You know, what's his deal? You know,
As we just learned, he was in the military, so he was obviously programmed by the United States military to become a psychopath and to have...
Sounds like it.
...be an order follower and to have no, you know, personality of his own. And then he also checked himself into a mental institution just last summer, apparently, according to the internet.
Who was the guy that you were saying was going around to the schools and, like, telling kids, hey, don't sign up?
His name is Adam Kokesh. He does a show called... He used to do a show called Adam Versus the Man, and he's really cool. One thing that was great that he was doing was getting vets with PTSD to take mushrooms.
Right.
He was healing people.
I was just going to say, what if he was, you know, taking mushrooms before all that happened?
No, he did
not
it.
Like that made him, like, go crazy, but, like, what if that could have helped him and prevented all
Oh, that? Yeah, that guy. If he went to some place where Kokesh was, you know, preaching to him about freedom and peace and giving him mushrooms, he'd probably be not shooting people, but instead he went to a regular doctor, probably, and got probably SSRIs, for all we know.
So a friend of mine sent me this message today. And says, apparently, my dad was hunting not far from there, talking about...
In Maine.
Lewiston, Maine. And his friends know the guy. He has a twin brother, I guess. Supposedly, he's a convicted pedophile, an Army Ranger, and mentally out of it. Also said that there were unmarked cruisers on the property, the family property, talking about this, the shooter's family property, before he went on his killing spree.
Wow.
And they
like, what were they doing there at his house?
Yeah, before it even happened.
Who knows? I mean, you know, the government is always looking to, you know, incite and create reasons to, you know, panic and scare people and get, you know, get the all the gun grabbers all riled up. You know, and the real solution is this, is there is too bad there wasn't some armed people inside that mall, inside that area. Or maybe they were and they just, you know, fled. I mean... If I hear shots going off and, you know, I'm right next to a door and I got my wife and kids with me and I carry all the time, probably get just going to just walk away at my
right.
wife and kids.
Right.
I'm not looking to go die.
Yeah, be a hero.
And but if, like, you know, if the guy came in my direction or was, you know, put me in a corner or put me, you know, I wasn't an exit, you know, then I would have to, you know, do something about it. But
be able to.
But another problem with Maine is, I didn't notice until I just read some messages, but Maine is like that you have to retreat.
Right, I didn't know that either. I was wondering when I first started hearing about a shooting there, I was thinking, you don't really hear about shootings in Maine very often, at least not like a mass shooting like this. I think 12 people died, or it says dozens died. But anyways, I started thinking, do they have good gun laws? I honestly didn't know, but the duty to retreat is one of the stupidest laws. It's just
like New Jersey,
yeah.
New York City kind of stuff. And
yeah.
So one of the things with Maine, and I was just up in Maine a few weeks ago, and I open carried everywhere, like I do here in New Hampshire and in Vermont. And so you can open carry, you can concealed carry. They essentially have constitutional carry, but there's a whole bunch of restrictions. Like, you can't carry in an establishment that serves alcohol. You can't carry in this type of establishment and that type. I don't know the whole list, but a guy kind of rattled them off to me. So, like, New Hampshire has one of the best because New Hampshire doesn't have any of those, you know, restrictions. But I wonder, was this mall a gun-free zone? Because we know that, like, 97% of mass shootings happen in gun-free zones. We also know that something like, I don't know if it's the same amount of percent of mass shootings are by someone who is on an SSRI.
Yep. And it just wouldn't surprise me at all if this guy was. This from TimCast. It says that NBC's, because if you don't know what we're talking about at all, just a little bit of info about what happened at the shooting. It said NBC cited a police source who said at least 22 people had been killed, with another 50 to 60 people injured in the shootings. And the Associated Press reported that at least 10 people were killed. Maine State Police issued an alert around 8:25 p.m., warning of an active shooter in Lewiston, the state's second largest city. Authorities advised residents to remain in their homes with the doors locked. And the police issued a photo of a suspect who was wearing navy cargo pants, a brown hoodie, and tan boots. It's just like, whenever people are military and they're like, you know, he's been out of the military for a few years, and he's walking around looking like a military guy. There's unmarked police cruisers at his house. He checked himself into a mental health facility just a few months ago, it just screams of inside job to me.
Yeah, especially that the cars were there before it even happened.
Right. It's like last night, Eldon and I heard of this story that happened in the early 1900s in Iowa.
I think it was like 1912 or something like that.
Yeah, this axe murder happened in this town in Iowa where there was literally never a murder before. They went in and killed 8 people, like 6 of them were kids, and what we found out about that was interesting is the government had been having a fight with the power company, so they had turned off all of the lights in the city just that night. And there's just always little things like that that make me think the government's involved with mass shootings because this was an axe murder. But it would totally make sense for them to be involved with mass shootings, even if you're like, why random kids and their parents? Because they want you to be afraid, so that way
right. You
think that you need them.
So is there powerful people that will stop at nothing to accumulate more wealth and more power?
Yes.
So, okay, so those exist. Is there powerful people who want the citizenry to be fear? To be afeared, as
it would benefit them.
Is there powerful people that want to disarm the common people in America?
And that would benefit them too, yes.
So do we have, do we each know somebody who could probably be coerced, especially if they started working with them at a young age, to be some kind of psychopath to go do something like this?
Absolutely.
I think almost anybody would if you got them from the ages of 0 to 6 years old.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But I can think of people like I grew up with that were like super gullible and, you know, got into drugs and got themselves into trouble and, you know, could be, put into this position. But we know that there is mind control technology, mind altering drugs. We know that there is all kinds of ways to get into people's heads. And with data mining and AI, I'm sure the algorithm, an algorithm and AI, I kind of refer to them as the same entity. I'm sure the algorithm knows who the pedophiles are before the pedophiles even know they're pedophiles based just on their metadata.
Hmm.
So if you know somebody that is tweaked and if those people are out there that are crazy enough that are researching this stuff on the internet knows about it. The algorithm knows about it. And are there people within the CIA that want to help make these things happen? I mean, what was the line from V for Vendetta? Show them why they need us.
Oh.
Create this, havoc. Create, and so this is where they, release like these terrible things and allow these bad things to happen so they can, show government. Government needs to start showing people why they need the government. And so I believe this is one of those situations again.
I believe it is, too. Especially when you think of Maine, New Hampshire. They're one of the safer states. And that's why it was kind of shocking when you hear about that. It's not like it's something that happens all the time. Like, sure, there's probably, like, regular murders that you just don't, they don't get reported. But mass shootings like this where 60-something people got injured, I feel like that's rare. They have to work on this state to make it seem less safe. 603-283-6160 is the number to call with any of your opinions. 603-283-6160. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. The Coast Guard has joined the search for the suspected mass shooter in Maine. According to NBC News, they've deployed both sea and air resources to assist in the hunt for 40-year-old Robert Card. Those shootings occurred in Lewiston in a bowling alley and bar last night, where 18 people died and 13 others were injured. In the wake of last night's shootings in Maine, the White House says more needs to be done to address what they call the epidemic of gun violence in the U.S.
It's within Congress's power to pass legislation that will make our streets safer, that will make our communities safer, that will make our schools safer.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre is urging newly elected House Speaker Mike Johnson to collaborate with Democrats in passing gun reform measures. President Biden's approval rating within his own party has hit a record low. According to a Gallup poll, only 75% of Democratic respondents approve of his performance in the White House. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Control 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call to get in on this conversation. It's already a pretty interesting night tonight. I've never been on the show, I don't think, ever with Jay Noon, now I think of it, but I've talked to him a lot. He definitely likes to talk, but I've never been on the show with him, so it's already very interesting. In the studio with you tonight, you've got Bonnie.
And Joa.
And Jay is here with us. He stepped aside to go take care of something really fast. But Elspeth stepped out. She was just covering for Joa until he got here. We may have her on more often, but we wanted to get Joa on to talk about today. He had a trial featuring a subpoena that didn't work, but may feature Don Bolduc in the future.
I'll fix that problem, though.
And we're going to be talking about that. Jay's back with us now. But I wanted to go to your phone calls and thoughts first. We have Ridley in New Hampshire. Ridley, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Hamas and Israel, just kind of like everyone else is talking about. But you know what they're not talking about? Hardly anyone's mentioned this, and you guys may have before, but how much do you know about the extent to which the Israeli government disarms its own people?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, they make them all join the military. Do they not let them have guns otherwise?
They don't let them bring them
pretty
home.
Much, you're not allowed to have a firearm in your possession without a license.
Wow.
Sounds like a safe place.
Only allowed to have 50 rounds of ammunition, according to those two things, according to the Times of Israel, which recently took advantage of the massacre to publish an article about how great Israeli gun control is.
Wow.
How awesome it is that they have gun control.
Doesn't even make any sense. I mean, not that a gun, I don't know if a gun could really help someone flying in on a tricycle and exploding themselves. I'm not sure how a gun could really help you in that situation.
Well, when you have a military as big as Israel per capita, right, if you want to add it per capita, I'm sure it's probably one of the biggest in the world per capita.
Everyone
right?
has to join.
It's very well funded.
It's, very well funded for sure. I can see why, like, I'm not supporting gun control, but I can see, like, their argument in this. And
how
you know
to trick people into having gun control.
If anything, Ridley, you just gave Hamas some key tips here that... There isn't a gun behind every blade of grass in Israel.
Every sand dune or whatever.
Yeah, every sand strand.
Well, you know, this thing... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Dave Ridley.
But this thing keeps coming up, right? So we have a war in Ukraine because Ukrainians only 7% of them, only 7% of Ukrainian civilians had a firearm when that thing started. And the Ukrainian government sort of had a rush of brains to the head after the war started and loosened its gun laws. And the Israeli government is actually doing the same thing. But this is so much our business because every time one of these countries gets itself into a war because it doesn't have guns, or gets invaded because it doesn't have guns, right, like in the hands of civilians, that drags the U.S. in, right?
And, our president, quote-unquote, has already said that he is going to defend them and be on their side. He already sent billions of dollars to both sides. Well, I don't know if you call it both sides in this instance. It's Israel and Gaza, but not necessarily Hamas.
Yeah, but no one even talks about this, pretty much. This is they're not saying, you know, freedom's not free, but in a sense, freedom is free. All the government has to do is just stop spending money putting its own people in jail for trying to defend themselves, and the level of defense goes way up because you've got a firearm in every third house. I mean, you've seen the video from that rave. Right, you know, where I don't know exactly how many people there were. Maybe let's say it was about 300 people at the rave. I couldn't tell for sure from the video, but there should have been 60 or 70 guns in people's pockets at least.
Where is that rave? Where is this?
And that should not have been a massacre. It should have been a shootout.
Which rave?
Well, there was a music festival that Hamas attacked. It was three miles away from the Gaza border. And so you had just huge numbers of Israeli people in this desert environment where it's very easy to tell who the enemy is, right? Because they were all wearing green bandanas or whatever. Hmm. So it was super easy. It would be much easier than defending against a mass shooting, except for the large number of Hamas people. But there should have been... I mean, those people, there's no reason for them to even run. They should have just all been on the deck taking prone positions and unloading their firearms on these incoming...
Yeah, they were easy targets.
Know, five-mile-an-hour parachutes. You know, it would have been easy.
I haven't seen any videos, but, like, I've watched lots of ultralights fly. So, basically, you could take one of these ultralights, bring it up, you know, sort of high and kind of, you know, glide it. You can, a lot of them, if the wind's like blowing away from you, you can't even hear them, you know, because they're not super loud. You can put mufflers on them, make them quiet. So, like, if you had any kind of rifle, basically, if you had an open sight 22, you could probably pick these guys off pretty easy, you know, as they were, you know, coming down towards the ground.
So this it looks like this, like a little tiny plane?
So I'm thinking the one that has the parachute on it, the ultralight with the parachute.
I hadn't seen a picture or anything, so whenever you guys were talking about this, I was kind of imagining something like a tricycle that has like a glider on top.
So it's basically a tricycle with a snowmobile engine and a big parachute. Are some of them like the ones you showed me a picture of have the wings, they're a little more, you know, high performance. They gotta go a little faster. But these parachute ones, like they can pretty much glide really slow, just
like a go-kart with a parachute on top.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
wow,
it. Yep,
I found
that's it right there.
Okay, so
that's terrifying.
What do they call that?
That says easy flight powered parachutes.
All right.
Yeah, and I actually when I first saw this, like, it was unbelievable, right?
It says powered and parachutes, that's what they call them here.
I just felt like right away, false flag. Like, how can you just so easily do this? Like,
well, he was saying before he got on, Joa, that the border was shut down.
That's the most secure border in the world.
And it got shut down. Like, everybody went home.
Yeah, and here's the thing.
What are the odds?
There's plenty of military in Israel to start seeing these things and be like, yeah, it's not us.
And they would show up on radar. And I feel like unless they were maybe composite, they wouldn't. I guess you could make them sort of ghost.
It's like, listen to all of these examples at once and tell me there's not a pattern. So the axe murder in 1912 in Iowa that I brought up last segment, the government just happened to turn all the the street lights out that night. And also this Hamas bombing in Israel, the government just so happened to take a break on the border that night. And then the
sounds like
shooting,
World Trade Center.
And then a 9/11 that he brought up, that the NORAD, is that what they call it?
Yep, NORAD was down.
Just happened to be down.
There was a drill, a terrorist hijacking simulation drill, right. Like planned for that, you know,
that always
that
happens.
Day.
Fighter jets through practice maneuvers.
Not coincidences.
Exactly. I just felt like this festival too. It's like you're right on the border, and I feel that's another thing too. I have tried to look up as much footage as possible about this, and I'm yet to see anyone actually shot and killed. I know I'm not one to go look at gore, but like I kind of want to see these things myself, so that way I can determine how this actually went down. I'm yet to see it. I saw. Allegedly, this one girl that was at the festival, her tattoos line up to her supposed body in a truck, but like...
Oh my god.
How did she die?
Did all of them allegedly die, at least? Is that what they're saying?
Blood, though.
So we know in history now there's all these crisis actors. So when they start saying, like, for example, that the Palestinians and Hamas are coming over and they're murdering the babies, there was this crisis actor who basically said that she was a Kuwaiti. I believe she was a daughter of an ambassador or something, some government agent. And it was in, you know, the late 80s or the early 90s, it said that Iraqi soldiers were coming over and taking babies out of the incubators and stomping them to death on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And turned out to be
100%. And then she lied.
Yes.
She went on, like, the news and talked about that, how it was so traumatic to her. I can't remember her name either, but she came out, absolutely, she lied.
So that has happened again and again. We have the Gulf of Tonkin where, you know, the U.S. put its own destroyer out there and then bombed it and said it was the Viet Cong or whatever so they could create an enemy. The military-industrial complex is going to do things to make sure that they can extract tax dollars from the people via weapons contracts they can have power.
God forbid if you have your own warship and then Israel flies by with their fighter jets and starts shooting at it, bombing it.
That was Liberty, right?
The USS Liberty. Nah, we're not going to do anything about it.
Don't do anything about it. Don't stop them or tell them to cease fire. Yeah, there's a caller who called in a lot, and I don't remember her name off the top of my head, but she said that her brother died on the USS Liberty.
Wow.
But what Ridley was saying about, like, if there was 60 or 70 people. Now, if that was Porkfest that happened to... Right?
Oh,
these
God.
Guys in ultralights come in, you know, what, 3/4 of the people around Porkfest are carrying, you know, a sidearm. There's always, you know, a handful of people walking around with some kind of rifle slung over their shoulder, or at least a couple people. And, you know, the thing is I was actually at a festival in Maine the Saturday this happened a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
And, when we go to the festival, you know, we went there with our camper, they go to the festival and they're like, we inspect all vehicles for, you know, weapons and, you know, drugs and stuff. And, you know, they see a middle-aged dude with a couple of kids and they didn't inspect my vehicle at all.
Wow.
But, you know, a guy behind me is, you know, in a Honda Civic and he has a couple of, young kids and, you know, well, kids, 20-year-olds, something like that. And, they definitely checked their car out and they were like, oh, you can't have this knife here and, you know, things like that.
Oh my God.
But like,
are they like more looking for drugs?
I don't know. I heard something about they didn't want someone having a knife in there and then they just held the knife until he left.
They just want to make sure you're vulnerable just in case any ultralights come in.
Well, anyways, I didn't say anything about, you know, no arms. But of course I had, you know, stuff with me. If I'm in Maine, Vermont, or Massachusetts, I'm carrying. And there's another reason why it's cost me more to go to, if you want to hire me to go to Massachusetts, I don't like going there anymore because I don't bring anything with me when I go there.
Yeah, I don't even bring my dog with me when I go to Massachusetts because I'm just so afraid of getting, you know, pulled over and then they make some reason for me to go to jail and then my dog's going to pound in Massachusetts.
So when I was at this festival, I was talking to a couple of guys around one of these vendor tents, and he kind of had a fire going. It was raining. We were talking about, you know, what they were telling me what was going on with this thing in Israel with them attacking the music festival with the ultralights, you know, the parachute ultralights. And I was like, yeah, I don't like going anywhere without, you know, some guns. And everybody in the tent said that they had either a rifle or a shotgun with them, either, you know, at that music festival. You know, they're like, hey, it's always in my truck. You know,
and
I live in Maine.
Thing I was going to say, I've only been to Maine for a maybe 3-week period in 2020 in September. And I just got this feeling from all the places that I visited there that has a very similar culture to New Hampshire. Like, people seem to be okay with
all of rural New England has the rural New England culture. And then all the cities everywhere, you know, especially, you know, the more woke they are. And that's a problem. There's a lot of, you know, there's ultra left liberalism happening. There's wokeism happening in Maine.
And like Portland's bad like that?
Portland's bad. They got a lot of Democrats voting in. And a lot of problems.
Sucks, because I think that city's so pretty.
A lot of people, a lot of who moves to Maine are Massachusetts parasite class people, people who work in government. You know, a lot of them retire and they move to Maine because
they ruined Boston. Now they're like, let's go ruin Portsmouth.
Basically, you know.
Portland.
Yeah, so they've done their jobs. Like, a lot of career bureaucrats, as soon as they retire in Massachusetts, Massachusetts is so expensive because of all the career bureaucrats, they move to places like upstate New York, where it's dirt cheap. They move to places like Maine, where it's dirt cheap. The land is cheap, you know, anywhere rural Maine. Taxes are really cheap up there.
Oh, yeah, they give out free land up there.
Almost, yeah. Some places.
They do. They Ridley? Well, you're supposed to sign a contract to stop being a potato farmer, so.
Ridley, did you have anything else you wanted to add about gun laws or anything like that?
Well, you ever seen that episode of The Simpsons where the whole world disarms so they get taken over by aliens with slingshots?
No.
So that's Israel, right? Now, I mean, obviously their military has a lot of weapons, but those are government weapons, right? That doesn't. It's making our point for us.
The government obviously wasn't interested in shooting down the tiny slow ultralight things.
And this keeps coming up. It's going to come up, I guess, in Taiwan next, because in Taiwan, compared to Ukraine, it's even worse. They had 7% gun ownership in Ukraine, but in Taiwan, it's 0%, and that's what we're about to go to World War III over, their gun laws.
Well, I hope not.
Well, you know, and here's the thing, like, in the past few years, teaching, like, firearm, you know, usage, etiquette, even, like, you know, I have one of these little plastic shotguns that you put salt in. It's called a bug of salt. I don't know if you guys ever use those, but
yeah, I've seen them.
Somebody told me about the pepper ones recently.
Totally put pepper in this thing, but you just put salt in it. And so my 3-year-old, I cocked a gun for her and she's shooting bugs and,
oh, wow.
You know, and she's learning that the muzzle only gets pointed down, or at something you want to destroy. Like, you know, so we shoot flies and I let her know when she, has poor muzzle etiquette. And I thought, you can't use that thing if you're going to point it at me or your mommy or something, or at your brother. You can't point it at somebody. You can only point it at a bug.
And she's going to have that so ingrained in her brain that she'll never be, you know, accidentally pointing it at people.
When you have people that have never touched a gun before, and a whole society, like, this sounds like what Taiwan is. How many people in Taiwan have actually ever shot a gun, have any idea how to use a gun, and you start putting guns in the hands of a bunch of people who culturally haven't had guns in a long time because it's like some kind of emergency. Like, if you had an invasion in Taiwan, you would probably have to start arming whoever's willing to, you know, pick up an arm. You're going to have a lot of problems.
Is that all you had for us, Ridley?
That is all. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for the call, Ridley. I'm going to move on to the next caller, because it is an open phones talk show called Free Talk Live, and you can call in at 603-283-6160 with whatever is on your mind. We have Major Payne in Michigan. Major, what's on your mind?
Well, you got some of your numbers wrong on the main shooting. I wanted to make a couple comments on Ridley's spew there. Right now, presently, when the war started, only 3% of the Israeli population was armed.
That's pretty low.
What was it? The Yom Kippur War, I think that was in 1969. They had three countries come against them, and somehow they came out victorious.
Was that the Six-Day
War? But anyway, in 1972, they passed some stupid gun law, and at that time, the gun owner ratio was 17%. Right? So that's tolerable. That's, you know, an armed man in every house almost.
It's better.
But
they have less.
It wouldn't be an armed man in every house because I'm sure, well, I don't know how that really you attracted gun ownership, but it's probably that, like, you know, every 10th house, everybody's armed. or every 25 houses, everybody's armed.
According to most of the reports that I've heard that I thought were actually halfway reliable, every house that returned fire to them as they were coming, they pretty much went by it.
Right.
And the reason they attacked all the settlements is because that's where the poor folks are. They can't afford the price of a permit, much less the price of a gun.
It's like bullets shooting out of a house is the new red blood over the doorway.
Well, that comes all the way back from Passover.
Oh, yeah, I mixed that up with Yom Kippur, didn't I?
Yeah, it's a little different.
Yeah, that's not Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur was a war. Not Passover. Passover was a Jewish holiday.
You said that I got some numbers wrong from the main thing? Is that, did more people die than I had?
Yeah, I've been listening to news clips about this thing all day. There was 18 that were initially killed. And then I just heard a little update from the BBC, and the only thing they say is 18 or more, and there was 13 critically wounded, so one or two of them may not have made it, I don't know. So it might be up to like 20, but I heard you spitting out like 30 and 50 and whatnot. And the other thing
that was, those amount of people were wounded.
Yeah, I heard that 22 had passed and 50 to 60 wounded.
Which is
but that
crazy.
Was last night, and they actually, I think, redacted those numbers or something. Or
this
whatever.
Was just
it was 13 wounded. And the guy never signed himself into a nut house either.
Actually,
what happened was he's an Army reservist, and his commanding officers decided he was getting a little loopy. So they called the state police and says, we want you to transport him to the military hospital for a psychiatric evaluation.
When was that?
This was like 6-8 months ago, maybe a year. I don't know.
He was admitted, I believe.
Whether he admitted himself or got admitted.
Bonnie, every time you go to the hospital, you have to sign in. So that's all they need to twist it right there.
Okay, I don't think it really makes that much of a difference. Like, it doesn't change the conversation.
Well, he didn't voluntarily check himself into the nut house, is what
I'm
saying.
There's also such thing as being involuntarily committed. You know, there's definitely involuntarily being committed and then voluntarily going there.
Like, that would...
He wasn't committed. He just went in for a psych evaluation and he passed.
Well, we might be talking about something different. I don't have it in front of me anymore.
Yeah, and what that was...
We're talking about the main shooting. This guy was... Right.
Okay, I'm putting you on hold. Jay was saying something.
I was the one who stated, so a friend of mine in the... locally here, his father was hunting with in that area and knows, like, the family. And they said that he checked himself into a mental health facility this summer for 2 weeks is what was mentioned to me.
Oh, okay.
So, and that just comes from, you know, some guy who allegedly knows his dad, and there's not any, like, you know, reports. But what he's saying could be very accurate. I don't know.
He also wanted to, I mean, this is what I heard in the news. So he wanted to shoot up a recruitment office, a National Guard recruitment office. And, like, that was on the FBI's radar for a moment, and that should have been red flags galore.
Yeah.
And he's a firearm instructor.
Well, we know the FBI, when my fear with the FBI, you know, it seems like what they do a lot is they come up with these guys who are twisted, whacked, you know, easy to influence, because they are everywhere. Like I said, the algorithm knows who they are, and they can either just sit back and let it happen, because this is all, like, for the FBI, all this stuff gives them power, and these guys decide.
They can't let opportunity go to waste, right?
So,
I think you should be careful, though, anytime you're saying, like, oh, the FBI could have done something about this. Like, it's just like asking the FBI to do more, because...
I agree, but these are, as an anarchist, it's hard to say that, right? But I feel like if there's tools and we have, you know, the government says, depend on us. You need us. And then they mess up and they don't, like, actually provide a service, like a mass shooter going crazy. Like, yeah, I think we can blame the FBI and be like, yeah, it's your fault. It's partly your fault.
And you look at things where you have actual twisted bad criminals, like, you know, attempting to do stuff, and we have a massive police state. Everything is tracked, traced, monitored, database logged, algorithms looking at stuff. And then you got, like, the state coming after my wife, for example, over allowing her daughter to safely nap in a car.
And the cops said, she was completely safe and not in danger the whole time.
Right. But anyways, you know, we got a list of, like, 14 people putting in all kinds of hours from Child Protective Services, like hundreds of thousands, hundreds of man hours, I don't know how many dollars, state employees to, like...
I mean, Jane, the ticket lady, she gets $25 an hour, she told me.
And it costs probably $45 an hour, you know, for the taxpayers to pay her $25 an hour with her pension and all her benefits and stuff.
I think about that.
Actually, so they said that they don't get pensions, but I don't know if I believe them.
I got one more comment on this main shooting. Evidently, his brother told him that he had another bar targeted on his list, too. But for some reason or another, it was closed that night.
Interesting. Well, thank you for the call.
Well, I think he was just headhunting. He knew where there were sheep. They might all be no carry in the bar.
Yeah, we should look into that.
Yeah, there is no carry in a bar in Maine.
Oh, yeah, so that is one of the things. Alcohol.
You can't concealed or open carry. And even if you have a permit in Maine, I believe you can't open carry concealed in a liquor establishment.
One thing I saw, I think it was that Tim Cast article, which I already X'd off, was that one of the places he shot was a bowling alley. Some of those serve alcohol.
So yep, there you go.
It could very well be... a no-gun zone. Well, we're going into the break, but don't go anywhere. There's more Free Talk Live coming up, 603-283-6160. Do you have any opinions on the things we're talking about? Call in and let us know. We have time for you, 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.